RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Hey everybody, it's Jeremy and Stephanie from RVFTA.com, and for this week's Campground of the Week, we are taking you to Fort Wilderness in Orlando, Florida, one of the best campgrounds in America, bar none.
I think that we might be able to call this America's campground.
I feel good about it. Some people are going to be like, but it's so expensive, and maybe it might be better to go with a state park or a national park or something. But you know what? A lot more people love the fort than hate on the fort. That's for sure. And we are big fort fanatics. Love it.
Well, you know, Disney does call itself the most magical place on Earth. And I do think that Fort Wilderness can claim to be the most magical campground on Earth.
For me,
it's got a lot of magic.
For me personally, it's the most magical place at Disney World. Okay, so if you take the most magical place on Earth, the place I want to be the most is at Fort Wilderness more than even any of the theme parks. So we're going to dive into a full-on review of Fort Wilderness, give you everything you need to know. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. And I didn't see Yogi at the fort, did you?
No, they don't let him in.
No, he tried.
Yogi doesn't have a pass.
I bet you he's tried to get in because there's lots of picnic baskets at the fort.
There are a lot of picnic baskets. It's true. Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. And now it's the perfect time to book your stay for the upcoming spring and summer camping season. At Jellystone Parks, you are going to find themed weekends and character appearances and water parks and tailgate parties, everything for your family to have a great time all spring, summer long. With over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that's also close to home. Visit campjellystone.com to find a Jellystone Park near you.
One of the things I love about Yogi is you can get that Disney-type experience closer to home at a cheaper price.
Yes, definitely a cheaper price. Disney puts all other expenses into perspective for you. That's for sure. Okay, well, let's dive in to where Fort Wilderness is located, because we always, when we talk about Fort Wilderness, and we've talked about it before, you can dive into, like, we did a Go RVing blog post. I'll link to all that in the show notes. But, you know, when we talked about it before, even people that have RVs and that are campers sometimes do not know that there is a campground on site at Walt Disney World.
A gigantic campground.
Yeah.
And it's so funny you say that, because on social media, like a week ago, when I put up a picture of Fort Wilderness and I was like talking about Fort Wilderness, one person did chime in and say, oh, thank you so much. I didn't know there was a campground at Disney World. Now, I went there when I was a kid. I went there when I was like 9 months old. And, you know, somebody would tell you, oh, well, no, hang on. Somebody would say, oh, you can't really remember that. And I'm sure I don't really remember that. But for the rest of my life, my family talked about the trip. So it was of legendary status in my mind.
They call them, I think, impressed memories. So anyway, so the campground itself is located on property at Walt Disney World. It's important to know that it is one of the resort properties. So when you stay at Fort Wilderness, you get all of the benefits of staying on site. Now, where is it located within, you know, all of Walt Disney World?
So it's south of the Magic Kingdom, and it's along the waterfront. And is that Lake Buena Vista? Is that what they call it?
I've seen it called a couple. So because it's kind of like there's two little bodies of water, and I wasn't sure
exactly which one.
Go ahead.
And so you can hop on a boat there and cross right over to the Contemporary and right over to the Magic Kingdom. So it's across the water from those properties.
And also other resorts line that body of water. And you can kind of almost like resort hop if you want to through that on that water. There's the Grand Floridian, there's the Polynesian, there's the Wilderness Lodge.
So what you're saying, it's in the heart and soul of Disney World.
Right.
It's not like far away. It is right there because it's been there since the 70s.
Yeah, so although we'll talk later, some of the bus experiences, you do kind of feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere, right?
Well, there's like this, and you put this in the notes for later, but there's this kind of rumor that the fort gets the short end of the stick when it comes to busing. And in terms of like not as many buses, and maybe they don't run as quickly. And the only evidence we have of this is when we tried to get to the Avatar ride and we woke up early, raced to the bus, got the first bus out of Fort Wilderness, got to Animal Kingdom, ran to Avatar, thought we were so buttery smooth, and found that there was a 3-hour wait.
At 8:45. 8:54. Yeah.
And that made us feel like, okay, the Fort Wilderness bus must have been the last bus to show up.
All the other resorts were there first.
Yeah. So this is a theory.
Yeah, all right.
It's a conspiracy, Disney conspiracy theory. So, we have no evidence.
But it is kind of grouped, you know, it's location-wise. It is kind of grouped with those other places. So in a way, when you're planning, that's important because you can think about going to places at the Contemporary, right, to character meals or restaurants that may be at the Wilderness Lodge. You can kind of think, okay, it is a little bit easy for me to get to these other places via the fun transportation of the boat.
And vice versa, when we were kids and my grandfather brought us for a family reunion to the Contemporary, where I met Joe DiMaggio, one of my greatest memories, we would take the boat over to Fort Wilderness. So people do come from the resorts right over to Fort Wilderness, maybe like to see the Hoop-Dee-Doo review or just go for a bike ride or a walk or whatever it might be, because you can rent bikes and do all kinds of things there.
One of the side effects of doing Disney material with Jeremy is that I have to hear the stories of his childhood at Disney over and over.
And she's bitter because she doesn't have all those Disney. Look, my grandfather.
Oh my gosh.
My grandfather was like a Disney guy. Like, he loved Disney World.
Your grandfather also liked to tell the same stories over and over again.
He did.
All right. So now let's dive into the campground itself. Like I said, it's a resort property. So you get all the benefits of a resort property when you stay there. So let's just detail what those are, because it's always cheaper to stay somewhere else, right? You can always stay off property for cheaper. There's campgrounds in Orlando, you know, in the surrounding area that are going to be cheaper. So the question is it worth it to get this experience? So some of the benefits include, actually, really, I think these are all of them. You get to make your dining reservations 180 days prior to your check-in
date. And that's like the same if you're staying at the hotels,
exactly.
Correct? So you have the same rights and privileges to access Disney World.
You also get to make your FastPass reservations 60 days prior to your check-in date. And that's a resort, you know, benefit also. You get magic hours, the extra magic hours if you're staying at Fort Wilderness.
Which we've never taken advantage of because part of our fort philosophy is to come back and spend the afternoon and the evening at the fort. So I don't regret that, but that's something we haven't done.
Yeah, it also didn't line up with the parks. The ones they had at the different parks didn't line up with kind of the order that we wanted to do things this year. So I look at it. At both years, I've looked at the extra magic hours and it's been like, yeah, no, we're good. If they had more extra magic hours this year for the parks that we were going to, like when we were going to them, I would have done it, but it didn't work out that way.
Just a reason to go back next year.
Oh, brother, here we go. Okay, you also get the complimentary magic bands. So you get the actual band, you know, it can be linked to your tickets, to your credit card.
And they showed up like, what, 2 weeks before we left or a week?
Yeah, and I think I don't know why it was different this year, but I think I might have just not linked the tickets to our reservation at Fort Wilderness. So here's the deal, folks. If you make a reservation at one of the resorts, then you buy your tickets for the parks. They get linked, right? You can link them via your online account at Disney. Well, once you do that, you get the complimentary Magic Bands because you're staying at the resort and the tickets will be on them. What happened is, I think it might have been my mess up, but we ended up getting the tickets, like the card, the swipe.
And that threw
ticket.
You off a little bit.
And but I was like, why did I get swipe tickets? Is something wrong? But it didn't matter. Our Magic Bands came and the tickets were linked to them. So everything worked out fine.
It's exciting getting those Magic Bands in the mail.
Well, and, you know, they really are so convenient.
It's amazing. You get all this free stuff once you're wearing them. You just like press them up against the...
You're not even paying for anything.
you can like link your credit card to them. And you can just like go into the gift shop and like put your wrist on the scanner and get whatever you want.
You pay for all your meals if you want. Like if you have a dining plan, it'll go through your Magic Band. It basically takes care of everything. It is mightily convenient.
Now, Stephanie, let's keep it real for a second. Were you a little shocked at my Magic Band spending at Fort Wilderness this year?
I'm always shocked at your spending. At home or away.
You looked at the bill and you were like, did you do this? Did you spend that?
Yeah, you know? you are a professional money spender.
In the grand scheme of things, it was probably what most families spend at, in terms of like gift shop purchases and stuff. It's just that's not your thing.
Well, and I never know because I refuse to go in the gift shops. So like I'm not even in there. I just ignore
and
the whole thing.
And you miss out because the Trading Post is like one of my favorite parts of Fort Wilderness.
It's not for me. All right.
Can I give a quick tip? Quick tip. I got to do it. So there's the Meadows Trading Post, and then the other Trading Post is
the settlement. Yep.
What I discovered this year, because I went into both of them, is they have very different merchandise. So if you go to Meadows and there's not a t-shirt you want, go to Settlement, because they have like almost entirely different stuff. It was quite amazing,
how different
the merch is from place to place. And I think that's a bit of a Disney thing. They want you to go into each store and find different things.
And also, along with your stay at a resort, you get access to the Magical Express, which of course, if you fly in like we did, you could use to get from the airport to Fort Wilderness. So you can get from the airport to Fort Wilderness on the Magical Express, and you can also use all of the bus transportation just like at the other resorts. There's an interior transportation and then there's exterior where you can take it from the outpost out to any of the other parks and locations.
And just in case you've been living under a rock and haven't been keeping up with your RVFTA madness, we flew in, rented a Class A in Tampa at Lazy Days, drove to Disney World in the Class A, and we camped at Fort Wilderness in the Class A. We were not in a cabin.
And if you really want the whole scoop on that, you're going to have to listen to the RVFTA episode that is paired with this episode over on the RV Family Travel Atlas podcast.
All right, let's talk size of the campground. Stephanie, the fort is huge. Like, it's really big. It's bigger than you think.
Yeah, so it has 799 campsites, and it has 409 cabins. It's on over 700 acres of property.
It's like the size of Delaware.
Yeah, and it's about a mile from the front outpost to the settlement. So that's just like long. You know, like I'm just giving you a straight line in between, but then it's also, of course, really wide too. So it's a lot of ground to cover. It has loops 100 through 2,000. So it's like 100, 200, 300, 400, etc.
And because of that size, it does kind of can matter a lot where you get your site, which we're going to talk about a lot. And because it's so large, a lot of people do rent golf carts there because, like Stephanie said, you're not going to walk a mile to get, I mean, I don't know, I'm not going to walk a mile with the kids to get from one side to the campground to the other. So there's a lot of golf cart rentals there, or just using the public transportation, or being very strategic about what loop you request so you're near the things you want to be there. It is important.
Now, there is a wide variety of types of sites. So some sites are pet friendly. Then there's also partial, right? The sites are actually called partial, full, preferred, or premium. And then there's also three different locations that you need to be aware of within the campground when you're sort of mapping it out in your head. And know that we have a campground map in the Campground of the Week show notes, just like we always do over at rvfta.com. So you can look at the map if you want to kind of get a better idea of what we're talking about. But the campground, you come into the campground at the outpost.
which is where you catch the buses to go to the parks. It's where you rent golf carts. It's where you check in.
It's the entry to, you know, the campground. Then in the middle, pretty much smack dab in the middle, is the Meadows. And there's the Meadows treating post. There's the Meadows recreation area there with the pool.
One of the two pools, but the larger, more significant pool.
Yeah. And then at the other end of the campground, there's the settlement.
On the water or near the water.
And that's where the boats are to go to the other parks. That's also where the a lot of the entertainment is, the dining, the restaurants. It's a real hub down there.
I think it is useful. You could break the park down into each individual loop and really look at like minute little areas. But I think what Stephanie's saying is really useful, that you should look at it as three big sections: Outpost, Meadows, and Settlement. And we really love the sites around Meadows. We really love the sites around Settlement. Outpost, not as much for us. I mean, if that's all I could get, I'd be thrilled to get in there. But that's our least favorite section, generally speaking.
I have to say, I know that some people, I mean, we're jumping ahead a little bit into the site details, but I know that some people are like, oh, any place at the fort is great. Like when people are saying, oh, what sites should I ask for? And some people say, oh, it doesn't matter, you're at the fort. I honestly say, actually, after our second visit there, I think it kind of does matter, and I really do have a preference, but we'll get to that more when we talk about
their site. Yeah, we'll circle back to site details, but I just want to talk about those three big areas. Now, the physical appearance of the campground and the whole surroundings of the campground is a big part of the Fort Wilderness magic to me. And I really don't think I'm exaggerating when I say it feels like a gorgeous national park or state park campground. It's that woodsy. There's that much wildlife, and the sites, for the most part, are that nice.
Wild turkeys are wandering everywhere. There's like deer, armadillos, peacocks, rabbits. It's
chipmunks.
It's ludicrous.
Chipmunks.
Yeah. Real and character based, right? There's pine and cypress trees, huge trees. Please take a look over at rvfta.com for some of the pictures of this campground. I did a Facebook Live while we were there of the rental rig from Lazy Days. And I was like to everybody, it was the middle of the day. I think it was 10 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock in the morning. And I said, everybody, listen, like there's not a sound. And the campground was sold out.
Because all the kids are gone during the day to some degree. So I think, you know, a lot of seniors camp at the fort for like a month at a time. We met a couple that stays for 3 months every winter. Yeah. And I think one of the reasons that you will see a lot of senior citizens camping at Fort Wilderness, and it's like their favorite place in America, is because it's awesome. It's fun. It's all the Disney magic. And it's super quiet during the day because the kids are all at the parks.
It's really kind of quiet at night too, because everybody's doing things. Everybody's often doing things. There's no party atmosphere at all at the fort.
Another thing about the physical appearance, there are woodsy areas everywhere. And if you get in the right loop and get the right site, you a lot of time just have woods behind you. Like you can walk back into the woods and it's just quiet and peaceful. They are not making sites out of every square inch they can make sites out of. They are really leaving a national park, state park kind of feel to it.
But that rustic woodsy feel is also paired with the Disney like resort cleanliness. So you have pristine garbage cans that are scrubbed every day. You have the
painted brown so they blend in.
You have the street sweepers that are going by and there's nothing in the roads. The sidewalks are, you know, perfectly clean. Every, you know, you picture little chipmunks out there with scissors at night, you know, making the grass all perfect.
It does seem like a bunch of elves come out at night and clean up. For 20 years, I remember my grandfather talking about how they sweep the streets clean of Fort Wilderness every morning. And it's true.
Yeah, they're very clean. Grandpa and Grandpa told us about that many times.
Well, we rented a Winnebago and we drove down to Fort Wilderness when I was 9 months old. It's like an epic family trip.
Let's talk about booking.
Well, let's talk about price range and booking. And, you know, price is just real controversial thing here. I mean, there are definitely people that get a little cranky about the price of Fort Wilderness. So let's just lay all this out for you. So first, booking. How early in advance can you book?
All right. You can book up to 499 days in advance. And you do need to book that far in advance, FYI, if you are going during the peak times. Now, the peak times are definitely the holidays. From Thanksgiving through Christmas and New Year's, it's bonkers there.
And Halloween, too.
People go crazy during the fall holidays.
Because everyone decorates their sites.
And then also during the spring break times in the spring, it can get very competitive depending on how spread out those weeks are for different kids. You know, across the United States.
Now, when Stephanie says, if you want to book Christmas or Easter or Halloween at the fort, like, you need to be on it $4.99 in advance. Like, you're not going to wait till day 470 and try to get a site for Christmas. You're not going to get it. Now,
however, if you want to go a year in advance, you can do it during an off-peak time.
2 years, and we go at the end of January because that's when my winter break is. I'm lucky that way. And we pull the boys out of school for the week. But we have a good week to go because it's after all the holiday madness. And I'm thankful for that. And I feel lucky for that. So I, 2 years in a row, have booked a year in advance. And I was able to request the loop I wanted and to get the loop I wanted a year in advance. And this year, this is controversial out here at RVFDA headquarters, I booked for next year already. Just, I'm not positive we can go, but I did book, and I think there's a chance we'll go again.
Now, if I'm not, notice how I'm ignoring that. Now, if you, you know, if it is booked when you want to go and you go online and you can't get it, understand that persistence is a virtue with Fort Wilderness, because people cancel all the time, because people do what Jeremy was just talking about. They say, I'm going to book it, and then we'll see if I have time to do it. So locals tell me that they go all the time without reservations and just show up, like during the off seasons when it's not super busy, because they say there's always cancellations and they can always get it. In fact, we were staying just a few sites down from some listeners at Lazy Days. And one of the last mornings they were there, he said, oh, we're going up to Disney. We don't have reservations, but I'm not worried. We'll get into the fort. He said, we always do, because there's always a cancellation.
I mean, that there's probably a lot of truth to that, but for our listeners, I wouldn't bank on that. You know, I mean, if you're local, whatever, it's fine, because I have been at the check-in area and I've heard people come in and say, hey, any sites open? No, we have nothing.
Yeah, nobody's going to drive from Ohio without reservations and just hope for it. But if you're in, the people that are passing through and aren't sure whether, you know, they're going to stay or will stay somewhere else too, it's always worth checking. If you're hearing this podcast and you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to be near there, I really want to check this out, go. Try it out, you know, try to get there.
Now, price. The price is it's kind of that dynamic flex pricing that campgrounds are adopting. So the prices can kind of run all over the place. Now, I have selected premium sites the last 2 years. I mean, we're going all the way down to Florida. It's like paying that little bit of extra for the premium to me is well worth it, because the premium sites are really premium. They're awesome. We paid about $125 or $130 a night this year. Now, I booked for next year for the same week, and it was $145. And on our Facebook group, RVFTA the group, somebody told me they booked for a holiday and it was $200 a night. So yeah, you can see a wide variety in prices, and they do charge more during like really high demand times. And I gotta be honest with you, I know that some of our listeners are like, that's crazy, that's gouging, it's $200 a night. You know, I don't know if I want to hash out that whole debate here.
I don't.
But certainly, like, the one nobody has to go, and that $125 a night we paid to me, like, I think it's the best bargain at Disney World. Like, I really feel it's worth it. There's so much free entertainment packed into a trip to Fort Wilderness.
Now, the highest price that I can find online documented for Fort Wilderness is $185. So what I'm wondering is if that $200 a night was with, you know, taxes
blah, blah, blah.
It could be, or the prices may have just shifted up and it's not documented somewhere yet. But that is definitely the range of the high end at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like, on the East Coast where we're from, I mean, RV resorts are starting to charge $108, and, you know, we can all make our decisions about how we spend our money and if it's worth it. And for me personally, I mean, we paid full price for our site at Fort Wilderness, and I really thought it was worth it, and I was very comfortable paying that price.
All right, I also want to say that just recently on our Facebook group, somebody who is in the know was saying to someone who was like, I can't get a site, I'm so upset. They said, book one night at a time. They said, book this but night, book the next night, then book the next night, and they get it like that, and then you call, and they put all of them together. Now, the downside to that is you have to pay for every single one of those nights in advance, not when you show up, right?
Because right, you pay one night in
a deposit. So you're going to end up paying for your trip ahead of time, but maybe look at that as a Disney savings account.
I spent $144 already for next winter, right?
Yeah. So that's a little trick that I, you know, someone in the know shared on our Facebook group.
All right, let's talk site details. So all the sites are back in sites. There are no pull-through. I've never seen a pull-through site on at Fort Wilderness, and I think that's confirmed. I don't think anybody's ever seen a pull-through site at Fort Wilderness. There's a concrete pad at virtually every site there, picnic table and charcoal grill. All have electric and water, and then you can get full hookup sites with sewer as well. And some of these back-in sites are pretty awesome, if you ask me.
Yeah, so Fort Wilderness does not guarantee a site, right? You can't request a site and be guaranteed. You're not booking an actual site like you might at a state park, right? But you are guaranteed a site type. So you can book a preferred, right? Or a premium like I did. And then you can see on the map, like, okay, well, I know that I'll be in one of these areas and I'll have these amenities, you know, at my site.
And when you book, like I booked a year in advance, I requested in my reservation notes the 900 loop because we loved the 900 loop last year. I believe we had site 915. So when I made my reservation, I said, I want to be in the 900 loop. I booked my premium site. I asked for site 915. All of that went into the notes. And then people always say you can call a week in advance.
Well, the woman on the phone at Disney told you that when we were talking to her before we showed up, she said, call 7 days. She said, yep, it's already noted on your account, but make sure you call 7 days in advance and we'll, you know, do our best.
And you make the request. So I called 7 days in advance and I said, I want site 915 again. And she said, well, I can't guarantee that. And it's here in your notes, sir, from last year. Now, when we showed up and checked in, I immediately said, oh, did we get site 915? And the really nice guy at check-in was like,
so nice.
He was like, getting the exact site you request is like incredibly unusual. He said like that would have been like a gift from above if that happened. But we got site 923, like very close to the site we asked. And I actually ended up liking our site this year better because it was super easy for me to back the motorhome into.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was a great site. No worries. And that's the thing is, like you said, that some people are like, well, all the sites are great and you'd feel that way. But at the same time, after two visits, I really do think that some locations are going to be better than others, depending on what you're looking for. So, you know, the only sites that we would really want, and I kind of feel like strongly about this, it are the sites that are right near the Meadows area. Because as a family, we are a pool family. Like when we're on vacation, especially in the winter, but even in the summer, our kids love to chill out at the end of the day at the pool. They live for it. And we also like the Chippendale sing-along. And it's so easy being right there to access those things very quickly. And we don't rent a golf cart the whole time we're there because we're in the parks so much. So it's like, we really like it there. And I'll be honest, I wouldn't want to have to take a bus
To the pool. Particularly, I do not want to take a bus to the pool.
And I don't want to rent a golf cart the whole time we're there.
Yeah, and just to save money, I don't want to rent a golf cart the whole time there. So we rent a golf cart there one day or 2 days at the most.
Go ahead.
Right outside of the 900 loop is a bus stop to get your transportation to the rest of Disney. You walk right across the street to the Meadows Trading Post. I want to be by the Meadows Trading Post if we run out of bagels or we need cream cheese or we need morning coffee. The pool then is right behind that. The Chippendale sing-along is sort of kind of next to the pool.
There, yeah.
I mean, there's just so many things right there that we want to do for our family.
Now, there's other people that would feel that same way about the Settlement. Because the Settlement, if you're not worried about the pool, the Settlement has everything else except the Chippendale sing-along. It has that location right near a trading post, right near the boats to go to the Magic Kingdom, right near the buses. There's a bus depot back there, too, that you can hop on to go to different places. The Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, all that stuff is right there in the Settlement. So if you want to be in the middle of the action, you know, and you don't care about the pool, honestly, I do think that's a better area.
The fireworks are there. The water's there. The boat rides over to Magic Kingdom. Great way to put it, Stephanie. So if you have kids and are going to be using the pool, get close to Meadows. If you really don't care about the pool, or you have older kids, or you're traveling without kids, get near the Settlement because there's all kinds of fun stuff. I mean, you can get drinks. There's a bar.
And
there's the Hoop-Dee-Doo.
I feel like the sites that are towards the outpost, that some of those loops, I feel like they are a little less private. And they don't have that wooded, like you can see through the woods to the sites and everything. And it has a different feel up there.
You are exactly right. I drove through almost every loop on the day I rented the golf cart. And those sites that you're talking about near the outpost, a lot of them are right out in the open. And there's definitely less privacy. Where a premium site, something like the 900 loop, you're going to have a world of privacy at your site. And you're often going to back up to some nice woods. Definitely.
Yeah. So we're going to dive into all the amenities and activities and everything that are at the fort, which of course are a big part of the experience. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Jayco. I was thinking while we were staying there, there was quite a few Jaycos in the loop. Remember the North Point?
I do remember the North Point. I remember the Seneca that pulled in right next to us late at night.
So I was like, oh, the North Point. I remember the North Point. So I'll read the North Point messaging. The North Point Luxury Fifth Wheel is an impressive blend of features that make for a camping experience that is something for everyone. Backed by Jayco's 2-year limited warranty, the North Point is the perfect choice for those seeking a chance to escape it all. Like at the fort. Visit your local Jayco dealer or Jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Let me put you on the spot, Stephanie. Okay. What types of RVs do you see the most of at the fort?
Motorhomes.
Totally. It's like a class A motorhome thing.
But look, you see everything.
There are pop-ups there. There are people in tents there. But you see a lot of big fifth wheels and you see a lot of big motorhomes, which
Florida,
again,
baby.
It's not just that. It's just the Ford is not just filled with families. There are so many older couples there that love Disney.
And I wonder if the makeup would change a lot in the summer. And too, the winter, it's snowbird season probably at the fort. And I bet that's reflected in some of the rigs. So the most important thing to understand about staying at the fort is that you can enjoy so many parts of that Disney experience without leaving the resort, which is true of a lot of places at Disney, but then there's like that and extra at the fort.
So look, you can do Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. That is definitely an additional expense. That is not something that comes free with your camping at the fort. And that's right there at Fort Wilderness. And then our favorite, which we did 2 years in a row, the Hoop-Dee-Doo review is right there at Fort Wilderness. And we did it the first night we arrived both times because we knew we weren't going to race over to a park. And I would highly recommend if you're showing up in the morning or midday and you might not want to go over into the theme parks to book the Hoop-Dee-Doo for your first night at Disney. It will get you into the mood for the Disney magic right quick.
Yeah. And on top of that, you can see the fireworks every night right there from the beach at the settlement, which is a huge perk, right? You don't have to go to the Magic Kingdom to see the fireworks. You go to the beach, you relax, and you watch the fireworks, and people love that. And then you can also watch the electric water parade from the beach every night. So you can get those resort experiences
and
there.
You were going to go up and watch the electric parade.
It was too cold that
night.
Last night.
It was a little chilly while we were there.
We had the golf cart that last night. I go, oh, I want to go up and watch the parade. But the temperature dropped that last night, and I was in the RV, and I was all warm and snuggly. I was like, I'm not going.
We love being warm and snuggly inside the RV in the evenings. We're not like a lot of people like go to like late at night at Disney World. That's not us. Then there's lots of other great things. I mean, the pool is a resort quality pool. And I found out from the lifeguard, it is always heated between 82 and 85 degrees. I believe if it gets any colder, they like shut down all of Disney World, basically. It stays at that.
No, they don't. They fix it. That's what Disney does.
They just don't let it get colder than 82. The hot tub, for how big Fort Wilderness is, they could maybe use another hot tub or a bigger hot tub. It's not a huge hot tub.
It's fine. We were in it every day. Like, that's the thing is that this year, Wes was really a big fan of the pool and the water slide and everything, and our boys were. And because the water was heated so warm, they were able to really enjoy it every single day, even though the temperatures were fluctuating a lot while we were there. So it was a big part of our experience. They also have all those recreational activities, like at the pool, they have...
There's tennis courts right there.
The leader, like the dance leaders and everything, you know, the rec staff, and they lead kids through lots of fun activities, karaoke, you know, just, you know, the line dancing and everything. It's fun right there at the pool for them.
We went to the pool every day. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the warmest week for sure, but still the boys wanted to go in the pool at Fort Wilderness every single day at the end of January. Absolutely. Now around the fort too, you're going to see volleyball courts. You're going to see tennis courts. I've never seen somebody having a volleyball game at Fort Wilderness, by the way. But you do see people playing tennis every day. Yep. People are over there using those tennis courts. So
absolutely. And then there's stuff that those are like, okay, you would find that though at every resort. You stay at Saratoga Springs, you're going to get a pool and you're going to get a tennis court. You know, like that's going to be there. But then you go into the very unique fort experiences. There are things at the fort that you aren't going to find at any of the other resorts. And those things are like pony rides.
Pony rides.
and horse trail rides.
And most of these things are an additional fee, okay? There are boat rentals, archery lessons, bike rentals, canoe and kayak rentals, fishing rentals, carriage rides, and they even do actually charge private, for the carriage ride
private,
at Disney,
yeah.
And private carriage rides. And then a lot of people are really into the hiking and biking trails at Fort Wilderness. If you're an exercise junkie and on your winter vacation, you want to be jogging every morning or not necessarily mountain biking, but biking every morning, there are lots of trails at Fort Wilderness. You
yeah,
can get
there's
lost.
There's a dedicated fitness trail, and it has like the exercise equipment along it. There's also a Segway tour.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's a tour. It's an, you know, it's a vendor that runs it, and you can take a Segway tour within Fort Wilderness and go all over. I think it's probably like, I never mention things that I see that like have a minimum age of say 13 or whatever, you know, but for some of our listeners with maybe teenagers, it could be really fun. You don't have to have any experience. You know, they teach you how to do it.
First of all, I would do that. And if they showed you some hidden Mickeys, I found one hidden Mickey in the fort, which I know is just
that's like a sad number.
I know. I mean, I wasn't bragging on myself, but I found it without any help from like a book or the internet or anything.
Now, one of the most unique features at the fort is, of course, the Chippendale sing-along. This is a nightly event, and it's absolutely adorable and wonderful and just like, you know, Wes is going to walk away remembering that experience almost probably more than anything but the pool.
We did it two nights in a row. He came out of his shell and started hugging Chippendale and getting high fives and doing photos with them. Chippendale come around to every kid. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there is no charge for this.
Right.
I mean, if you want to buy s'mores or buy food or whatever, there's a charge, but anybody shows up for free. The musician plays for a while. Chippendale come out. They say hello to every kid and they do pictures, I swear to you, with every kid there. Then you do some dancing with Chippendale. Wesley did all the dancing with them. I mean, Wesley, I think it was his Disney World highlight. He wanted to go back for the third night in a row, but we were like, no.
Well, we were, yeah.
It was our last night. We were going to dinner.
So, I mean, it really is. They have the campfires there.
The cowboy sing-along.
A uniquely fort experience. You know, this is something that you're not going to find anywhere
else. I'd call it a highlight. You know, when you look at that $125 a night or whatever we paid, and it's like that was like a free show every night.
Yeah,
basically.
You have little kids to be able to go over there every single night, and then they play the outdoor movie afterwards.
I watched The Lion King. I watched The Invincibles. Now I have to say, Max and Theo did not have any interest in going.
No, they were over it. Last year, they did. They had to get there. Last year, I think we were there two or three nights because it was the same thing with them. Like, we're going to get over to the sing-along, right? And this year, they were like, no, we're good.
They did some reading. They had some homework to do, et cetera, et cetera.
We'll do our homework.
But Wesley, I've never seen the kid smile and laugh as much as I saw him do at like the Chippendale nightly sing-along.
All right, let's move on to, we'll skip right over this. Wi-Fi cell service. Check, check.
Totally solid.
Totally fine.
If not better than solid.
Yeah, it's totally fine. You could download something. You can make a call. In fact, I thought it was better than last year. So last year I had trouble with some connect. I don't know if it's spotty in different areas of the park.
Well, we were so close to the same
place.
Last
year I had trouble. This year, no trouble. Let's talk about dining options. So we already mentioned the Hoop-Dee-Doo review, which
I think the food's great.
Make reservations in advance and upgrade to good seats because we've loved our seats and we had fine seats all the time. But then we said somebody on the group said that they were off to the side behind a pillar
and like underneath the balcony. Yeah.
And when I was picturing that, like I was like, yeah, I could
that
see
that could be that
okay,
could be a
yeah.
could ruin your night.
So if you're gonna spend money, just go ahead and spend the money.
And if you can't get the better seating, maybe
try
don't
a different
go
night.
Or
yeah,
try a different
I would be careful because somebody specifically said that and it made like I was like, oh yeah.
Let's not assume everyone knows what the Hoop-Dee-Doo is and what the food is. So it's all you can eat fried chicken, ribs, potatoes, corn, you know, and then the alcohol is included as well, which is nice. You can have beer, you can have wine. And it is this like great all-American kind of hoedown sing-along comedy show, right? Like
yeah,
this Wild West comedy show slash sing-along, a real slice of Americana. It's one of my absolute favorite things to do in all of Disney World. It might be my favorite thing to do, period, at
now,
Disney.
Now, Mickey's Backyard Barbecue is notoriously difficult to get. You will need to use that six-month reservation window if you want to nab tickets because it's not every night. In fact, when we go in January, they're like not even running them during the week. It's on like Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights or something. So it's really tough. You have to book that far in advance. But again, you could get that character dining experience because all the characters are at the Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. So if you want to get your character experience right there where you're camping, you can do it and not even worry about the stress of doing it at any of the parks, which I think is a big bonus.
I feel like we have to go back next year just to do Mickey's Backyard Barbecue.
All right. Crockett's Tavern is like pizza and bar food at the settlement. I really like the fact that they have the walk-up window. You can get like a drink right at the window. Sit on the rocking chairs. Your kids can like play at the playground if you want to drink. That's a nice little setup there. The Trails End up there is a buffet. Excellent food.
Which, and it's like it's like basically the food from the Hoop-Dee-Doo, but a lot more options.
Yeah. And breakfast.
I will take the Trails End. And I don't think it's one of these things where like it tastes better because you're at Disney World and you're in just this magical spell. I really think the food is really good quality at Trails End.
Oh, no, it's really good because I'm not a buffet person, but like I create a really nice dining experience for myself at Trails End. I do. I start out with my salad.
So do I.
I get a plate of peel and eats. Like I make myself courses.
I get a gigantic plate. Plate of ribs, and I also have a great dining experience.
It's very different.
If you ask me what is the one taste you associate with Disney World, it would be those ribs that you get at the Hoop-Dee-Doo or at Trails End.
All right, they also have P&J's Southern Takeout, so that is kind of where the Trails End is. You can order takeout there and take it back, you know, to your camper or whatever. So that's convenient. You don't have to sit down and eat. If you're coming back on the boat from the Magic Kingdom, you can pick up takeout and take it back, or you can get food at the Fort Wilderness food truck. Which is new.
The Fort Wilderness food truck was at the Hoop-Dee-Doo, I believe, right? And I, on one of my Instagram posts, I kind of made a joke and said, like, the pretzel I got was, like, the worst food I got at Disney World. And, you know, the cheeseburger was fine. So the nothing special at that food truck, to be
honest
with
you. But the food truck's cute, so people are like, it's like an old art motorhome. Yeah, but it's not. The food's nothing to rave about.
One other thing about Trails End, there is a hidden Mickey there involving cast iron pans.
And you found it.
And I did find it.
All right. And then lastly, there's the Meadows Pool Snack Bar, which honestly, the food there is not bad. It's a little pricey, but they also have, just as an FYI, I'm not like promoting like, you know, a big party fest here at you know, Fort Wilderness, but like they have nice cocktails and like fruity
beverages.
Nobody's
getting wild at the pool at Fort Wilderness. It's just, look, you can relax.
At the end of the day, if your kids want it, yeah. So I didn't actually do it this time. I should have. But I remember last year, like it was like 4:30. We were going down to the pool and I just walked right up to that window and I got myself a really nice refreshing drink and I sat on one of those chairs and it's just nice. You're like, what a great way to end the day.
You're pointing out something that I actually love about Disney is that I have just as much fun there as the kids, and I think you do too. It's an awesome experience for the adults too, and there's many, many little touches like that one that also make it an enjoyable experience for the parents, the grandparents, whoever.
I had a better time this year because I feel like I knew what to expect. Like last year, I went into it like, I am going to suffer through this Disney experience. And
I don't think I've ever proven you more wrong in our entire marriage.
Well, I worked hard for it too. Like I really did do it right. Like I planned the whole trip, even though I was like going to suffer
you
through it.
You took the reins. And what's funny is like in recent years, you haven't been doing that necessarily with the RV trips.
Oh, I didn't trust you to plan a Disney trip
at all. You grabbed it, girl. You're like, I still don't know how to like get all the Magic Band stuff done. You do all of that.
So I went through that learning curve and then it was a really great vacation. It was fantastic. And there wasn't so much that I would have changed, but just going into this year, going like, oh, this is what a Disney vacation is like at the fort, and this is how to really enjoy it. It's like I felt like I walked in knowing exactly how to have an awesome day, and I did.
It was a magical trip. I loved it. It was hard coming home and going back to work. It really was.
You were so moping.
Look, we didn't get perfect weather. I mean, no. It was in the 60s. It was a little chilly, and I had more fun this year than I had last year when we had warmer weather. If you do it right, it really is like the best vacation your family can have.
All right, I want to talk about some insider details, already mentioned, but let's just go through. Request a loop and then request it again 7 days in advance. All right. So just really look at that map. Think about what we said. You know, think about what you need in a campsite and request a loop. I really recommend doing that. Also, the fort has a million amazing Disney experiences right there, right? So what we learned the first year is that we actually didn't spend enough time at the fort.
And we spent more time at the fort this year. And on social media and on our RVFTA, the group on Facebook, a lot of people go and don't go to the parks. It's kind of, that sounds like shocking to somebody who's not initiated. But once you've been to the fort, you can understand a family doing a fort wilderness vacation and right. not even doing theme parks, which That's is going to save like, you a ton of money.
If your budget is tight, you can have, I mean, think about this. You can have all of the character experiences right there at the fort without ever purchasing a park ticket.
Or if your kids are really little, like do the Hoop-Dee-Doo or the Mickey's Backyard Barbecue and maybe wait on the theme parks till they're older if you know you're going
to
get back.
You can watch the fireworks. You can do the sing-along. You can have all this stuff.
Which is what all the seniors are doing in their Class A motorhomes. So many of them. I talk to so many of them. They don't go to the parks at all.
Yeah.
They're there enjoying the fort.
Yeah, spend one day, whatever. You could custom tailor according to your budget and you could have an amazing Disney experience.
The other thing I would suggest, I'm going off the notes here a little bit. Both years we went 5 nights. We could have stayed longer. We could have done 7 nights, but partly because of cost and partly because just like you can burn out on a Disney yeah. vacation. I have no desire to really spend more than five. I'm perfectly happy doing five nights at the fort. So if you're worried about cost, instead of doing a 7-night vacation, maybe just do a 5-night vacation and have a little more cushion and padding on either end of your trip and you'll save a bunch of money too.
All right. Now, nobody's perfect. I know that this is Disney. And so it's like, oh my gosh, like everything.
Well, our nobody's perfect. Is like a conspiracy theory that has no fact behind it, basically.
So
it's just the thing with the buses. It just feels like the buses don't get you to places as fast as, like, it seems like the resort people are getting there first before you are.
Right. Like when we're places like Disney Springs or whatever, like you feel like the people who are going to the Polynesian are like getting more buses than you are at the fort. And the thing is that other fort people were saying that that's true. Now, I don't know if it's the grand conspiracy, but other people, we were kind of like, it seems like we're waiting a long time.
There's not like, as many buses circulating. Like, yeah, we were like, when we went to Disney Springs, it's like, okay, we're waiting half an hour for the bus. And normally Disney transportation is like, it's just Zoom. I mean, it gets you there quickly. No, I think there's something to it. I think that the fort doesn't get the same number of buses running, I have no proof.
Now let's real quick for regional highlights. Last year, we did Universal.
Harry Potter.
We did a whole episode on that. We did lots of information on that. I'll link to it in the show notes. This year, based on last year's experience, we wanted to soak up Fort Wilderness time every single minute that we were free. And we did that. So we did not leave the Disney. We did other things within Disney that we didn't get to last year.
I think it's a major tip for enjoying a Fort Wilderness vacation. Consider doing your trip in such a way that you never leave Disney World, that you don't actually have to go back out on the highway to go to Universal or go to a store. Now, a reminder, on our main RVFTA podcast this week, we are going to be talking about everything we did in the theme parks. We did Animal Kingdom this time, which was a complete hit. We did Hollywood Studios, which, I mean, Animal Kingdom was the favorite, but we all loved Hollywood Studios.
I did the spa thing.
She did the spa thing. I enjoyed Disney Springs. I mean, it is like raw consumerism, like at its best. But so we're going to talk. And we did Magic Kingdom again. We skipped Epcot this year. But over on the main podcast, we'll be talking theme parks. We'll be talking more dining.
The
rental
experience
Disney
with
Springs
Lazy Days.
And the rental, the classy rental experience. Because it's a great way to do Disney in the winter if you do not want to tow your trailer all the way down to Disney if you live far away.
All right. So thank you so much for listening to Campground of the Week. These new campground reviews are released every Wednesday during our season. This is the 2018 spring season.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, to Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. I would love to see Yogi at Fort Wilderness. Maybe they can work out something.
Can they work out a truce?
Yeah, Disney could like buy the whole franchise.
Branded truce.
All right. Also, big thank you to Jayco to view their complete line of RVs. Head over to jayco.com. And if you go to Disney World, you probably want to make sure you have the insurance. And we recommend the Progressive Insurance.
Progressive RV customers can sign up for vacation liability, which is an optional coverage that protects you if others are injured around your RV or campsite. To sign up for optional liability protection of up to $500,000, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV.
And if you enjoyed this podcast or any of our podcasts, we sure do appreciate iTunes reviews. They help us out a great deal and they make us smile. Please also check out our other weekly podcast, RV Family Travel Atlas, which is our general interest show about everything RVing, everything camping, and we release that every Thursday.
Our RVFTA community members have the best campground recommendations, and we know that, so we created a space for you to share your campground recommendations. over at rvfta.com. Go to the campground reviews tab. You can sign up and leave a recommendation of your favorite campgrounds right there for other people.
And I'm not afraid to brag about this. We have the best Facebook group in the world of Facebook for people interested in RVing, because we have the friendliest people. And if somebody's not friendly, I have to just say it, we hit the button. We hit the magic button and we get them out of the group. We have no time for nasty people in our Facebook group. So it's a really encouraging, supportive community. So please consider joining RVFTA, the group on Facebook.
All right. We'll see you at the fort.
We'll see you at the fort.